Enjoy early access to ad-free episodes each week when you subscribe to Wedding Planning Podcast Premium in Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show. We are going to streamline and simplify some really common wedding planning scenarios that can get really complicated really quickly, but it doesn't have to be that way. So streamline and simplify has been a tagline for the Wedding Planning Podcast literally since I created the show way back in 2015. Not only are streamline and simplify two of my favorite words in the English language that I try to live by in all aspects of my life, more specifically, this perfectly summarizes my overall general approach to wedding planning. I truly believe that every situation you'll encounter throughout your engagement can be examined through the lens of simplicity and potentially scaled back or streamlined in some way that will make your life easier, more affordable, more relaxing, and overall more enjoyable. Oftentimes throughout our engagement, we find ourselves in the midst of a wedding planning roadblock, and the first instinct is to explore all the options. So in the first example that we're going to talk about in today's show, a couple has family in two different places, two different states, and many of their family members don't want to travel. So as you look at your options, you might consider getting married in one hometown versus the other hometown. What would those two situations look like? What if you got married in the city that you and your partner live in now? What if you elope and get married on an island or in the middle of nowhere with just the two of you? So in all the feelings and the family dynamics and the charged emotions that fly around throughout your engagement season, it's sometimes really, really incredibly easy to get lost in a million far-fetched options when the simplest, most streamlined option is oftentimes never even considered. So on that note, today we're going to explore a handful of really common wedding planning scenarios where things can escalate and become very complicated very quickly. I'm going to do my best to point out for you some very straightforward, very simple solutions that I hope will make your engaged life easier, more affordable, and put a stop to you waking up in the middle of the night with your mind racing over how many past appetizers there should be and how you're ever gonna figure out how to buy enough ice. There are a million things, I know. It's all very, very overwhelming sometimes, but today we're gonna step back and press pause and we're gonna simplify. So if you're ready to get started, let's do it. Okay, I already kind of introduced our first wedding planning situation, but here are a few more details. There's a couple, and they are experiencing a very common scenario of their families being located in different places. More specifically, half the family is in Arizona and half the family is in Illinois, and the couple lives in California. Now, many of the family members don't feel comfortable traveling, but the thought of hosting two separate receptions, one in each other state, sounds really overwhelming and expensive and just not ideal for a million different reasons. So over the past year and a half, hosting two different receptions has really become a thing that a lot of couples are doing. For some couples, this is a great option, and hosting two separate events solves a lot of things. It keeps each reception smaller, it can be more localized, it's more convenient. It's more convenient for your guests, it's not necessarily more convenient for you. But for other couples, lots of couples, hosting two separate receptions, that's a perfect recipe for stress and overkill and anxiety. Planning one wedding is a huge task, so planning two, for some of us, this just is not even an option. So getting to the point, my advice, when you're torn equally between two separate locations and you live in neither of them, my advice to simplify your life is to get married where you live and have your guests come to you. This accomplishes so many things. First of all, neither side can be upset or have hurt feelings that you didn't choose, quote, home. Words alone cannot quantify how much easier it is to plan a wedding when you are physically present in the town or the city that the wedding is taking place in. So, in a nutshell, planning a long-distance wedding celebration when you're not located in that city, that can be a huge pain in the neck. Another thing to consider, we say time and time again that hosting a small wedding is the best way to control your overall costs. The more guests who have to travel, the bigger chances of your guest list staying on the small side. Now, of course, I know you want your closest loved ones to be there no matter what. And this couple, part of their big dilemma is that not everyone is comfortable traveling, which leads us perfectly into a final closing point on this topic. Regarding those who do not feel comfortable traveling these days, sadly, there is never going to be a solution that caters to everyone. If you host your celebration in Arizona, then that part of the family is going to be thrilled because they don't have to get on airplanes, and you're going to ostracize the entire side of the family in Illinois who now all has to travel. It's easy to see exactly what I mean. You're never going to make everyone happy. The past year and a half has served up a bazillion additional challenges as we are considering the comfort level of people who are or are not willing to carry on, you know, business, daily life as usual. So I would suggest that you consider using technology to bring everyone together who can't physically be there in person. And to wrap it all up, again, if you're torn between two locations and you do not live in either of them, I would highly recommend considering getting married where you live in the name of simplifying your engagement. All right, moving into our second scenario that we're going to do our best to simplify. This is a very common one when searching for the perfect venue. And this is the question of, do we go with all-inclusive or do we go with more of a blank slate budget style venue? Now, if you're in the midst of shopping for your venue, then I don't need to tell you that it is a doozy trying to find the perfect place to host your wedding celebration. If it was as easy as paying a couple $1,000s and showing up on the day of to a Pinterest-worthy wedding, then I would likely be out of this job and the wedding planning podcast probably wouldn't exist. Alas, venue shopping is full of a million options, a million price points, different options for setups, and endless possibilities, which can be a good thing, but it's also a very overwhelming thing. The most common crossroads that I see couples face comes down to choosing a venue that includes elements such as a catering package, decor, a day of coordinator or point person, audio, dance floor, setup and cleanup, all of that's included. This venue is naturally probably going to have a higher price tag than a more blank slate venue, such as a park, a rustic barn, maybe someone's backyard, or any type of location where you're showing up and you're paying for the use of the space, but nothing else is included. So the conundrum that typically unfolds is whether it's because a couple is trying to save money and control costs, or they simply want to have more control over the specifics of their reception, or maybe it's a degree of both of those things. But the conundrum is that we can be drawn to the blank slate venue without fully considering all the extra work, research, time, and expense that comes along with it. a blank slate venue is a big responsibility, not only in terms of time, but in terms of money and your stress levels. If you can, A, afford about $10,000 to hire a full service wedding planner who can do all the research, all the booking, and all the follow-up for you with about 12 different vendors, or B, if you have 20 hours a week at your fingertips for you to be able to do the endless hours of research and coordinating, and C, you have a generous budget that includes plenty of funds to pay for rentals, decor, hiring help, catering, bartenders, setup, cleanup crew, and or D, you have an uncanny commitment and love of thrifting and creatively cutting corners and sourcing the best deals on everything. Did I lose you there? I think I lost myself. But in essence, what I'm getting at is a blank slate venue is going to take a ton of time and money from you in the coming months, even if it seems like the cheaper option on the face of things. We've had multiple variations of this same conversation in past episodes of the Wedding Planning Podcast, and they're all available in the Digital Planning Package membership that I mentioned at the opening of today's show. There are basically a million ways that trying to save money can backfire on you when you're faced with an all-inclusive versus a blank slate venue scenario. For the purposes of our conversation right now today, I'll summarize as follows. If you're faced with an all-inclusive venue that costs $10,000 or a blank slate venue that costs $4,000, and you're the type of person who likes to keep life simple and streamlined, go with the all-inclusive venue 10 times out of 10. You'll save yourself hours of time, hundreds of phone calls and emails, a ton of stress, and likely, honestly, you'll probably save some money in the end when all the dust settles. If you're game for a challenge and you're really craving the flexibility and creative options that the blank slate venue offers, I am not trying to talk you out of it. That was me, my friend. That I did that. And in my very biased opinion, our wedding was a smashing success. But that is another conversation for another show. Check in with yourself, make sure that you're game for the challenge. And if you're feeling any doubt at all, I don't think it's going to cost you more money in the end to splurge a little on the upfront side and go with the all-inclusive venue. It's going to be much simpler. Susan's Travel Services is so excited to partner with you to plan your honeymoon, destination wedding, or maybe even your bachelor or bachelorette party. Susan and her team have been planning dream vacations for 27 years, and they are truly the best in the business for start to finish planning services. Travel and new experiences are incredibly special to me, and Susan and her team have helped me plan some unforgettable vacations, including a bachelorette party in Cabo and a family anniversary celebration in Cancun. They meticulously researched the best all-inclusive options for us based on some very specific priorities, and the professional assistance in choosing location, resort, activities, and transportation was absolutely priceless. From all-inclusive resorts in Mexico and the Caribbean, overwater bungalows in the Maldives, or that African safari that you've always dreamed of, save yourself hours of research and guesswork and let Susan and her team find you the best options for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. Reach out to Susan and her team today by emailing info@susanstravelservices.com. And be sure to let her know that I sent you and get $50 off your final booking or $200 off your destination wedding. Her email one more time is info@susanstravelservices.com. Okay, and is this the last one? Let me see. Nope, second to last topic for today is transportation. Transportation is a topic that can get very complicated very quickly, so we're going to simplify the issue of transportation both for you and your wedding party and also for your guests. Riding from your wedding ceremony to your photos and ultimately arriving at your reception in a limo is tradition in many parts of the country, and things can get really complicated when you have 12 plus wedding party members. You want all the significant others included, and then, of course, you'll want your team of three photographers and three videographers to be on board as well. That, my friend, is over 30 people. Can we fit in one limo? Probably not. Maybe in a party bus. Maybe we need to get two limos. And then, if we get two limos, who's going to ride together? What if they get separated? Et cetera, et cetera. Not to mention, if two limos isn't in the budget and the logistics of having two limos isn't within your desired comfort level, then we have a couple of very simple options. The first option would be one limo with only wedding party members, no significant others are included. But wait, you're thinking people will be upset. That's rude not to include significant others. People will be mad if they can't bring their boyfriend along. How will the significant others get to the reception? On and on. I'll say it over and over and over again on this show. You can't please everyone every single time. And if riding in a limo is on your list of priorities, but paying for two limos is not, then not inviting significant others to be included in that part of the day, that to me is the simplest option. Another even more simplified option, cut the limo altogether and carpool. I know it's not what they do on Pinterest and Instagram, but there is absolutely no point in you shelling out $1,000 or more for limo rides if, when it comes down to it, it's just not that important to you, or if it's becoming a logistical nightmare and a constant stress point. Please trust me here. 1 year down the road, 1 year from your wedding day, no one will be talking about if you did or didn't have limos at your wedding. Trust me. And the last point here, and this is working backwards a bit and kind of getting off topic, it all ties together, trust me. If you are early in your engagement and you're still on the hunt for your perfect wedding venue, you're still in the shopping process, I would highly recommend prioritizing any options, any venues that allow you to host your ceremony, cocktails, reception, everything in the same location. Talk about simplifying. This topic could have been its own dedicated little section of today's show, but it fits here nicely, so I'm just going to roll with it. Moving from ceremony to reception costs you a ton of time in your wedding day timeline. It takes a lot of time to get from A to B. Even if the ride is only 15 minutes, there's the getting in the cars, there's the walking out to the parking lot, there's the walking from the cars into the building. It doesn't just take 15 minutes, bottom line. It takes 45 minutes because you need cushion time on the front and the back, you need time for everyone to move from A to B, etc. Having a ceremony and a reception on two separate sites, that also creates logistical challenges, excuse me, over how to get 100 people from point A to point B. It can also create a time gap in your day where guests are waiting for 1, 2, or even 3 hours after the ceremony ends and waiting to get into the reception space. I know. Of course, I know that in some scenarios it's just not possible to have everything happen on the same property, and that's totally fine. You'll make it work. It's not the end of the world. But if I can catch you early in the venue shopping process while you still have an option, please do yourselves a favor in the name of streamlining and simplifying your entire engaged life. And choose a venue, or prioritize a venue, I should say, that gives you the ability to host everything on site. Okay, and now we're going to move into our last one for the day, which is a long wedding weekend and how we can simplify that. Here's a fun fact about me. I'm a classic stage 5 over celebrator. Yes, I'm that girl who celebrates her birthday all month long. Our family has 2 full-scale Christmases every year, one in San Diego and one in Michigan, because we want everyone to experience Christmas together, and that means we have to do it twice. So it goes without saying that when my husband John and I got married, one wedding day was not going to cut it. So we went all out with 4 days of celebrating with our friends and our family with a long wedding weekend. Okay, so how many times have you heard that your wedding day comes and goes in a flash, you blink your eyes and it's over? Well, you hear it all the time because it's true. And so many couples today are extending their celebration out over a few days with a welcome party, an inclusive rehearsal dinner, all the traditional wedding day festivities, and then a post-wedding brunch to send off all their loved ones and thank them one last time for coming to celebrate. Now, unless you have a very generous wedding budget and resources, you're likely going to need to be thrifty and creative to pull off not one, but 2, 3, or maybe even 4 wedding celebrations. Are there a lot of logistics? Yes. Is there a ton of additional planning to do and considerations? Yes. But you can still keep things simple. As you start to plan out, for example, a welcome party, ask yourselves every single step along the way, is there a more simplified option than what I'm thinking right now? Can we skip the welcome bags? Not only would that save you buying dozens of extra things, it would save you the time of thinking about it to begin with, let alone the time of collecting and organizing all the shipments of the things, assembling everything, transporting everything. Going back to something I mentioned earlier in our conversation from today, I know you might be excited about making welcome bags, and you've seen so many cute ideas online, but in a year from now, no one is probably going to remember your welcome bags, or even if you have welcome bags at all. And don't get me wrong, that's not to minimize it if this is a project that you are really excited about doing. Do it. If you're really fired up about it, then 100% do it. I'm not judging you for doing it or not doing it. I'm simply saying that if you really intentionally put some thought into it, and you can feel with confidence that welcome bags are not something that you're really passionate about, then just skip it and keep things simple. Some other really quick tips off the top of my head for these auxiliary events like your welcome party, a rehearsal dinner, a post-wedding brunch, or any other creative celebrations that you've got in the works. One would be forget the custom cocktails and stick to beer and wine. That is a great way to simplify. Another one, go with cheap and easy catering. I'm talking sandwiches, pizza, donuts. There's no work to do ahead of time for you, and there's no cleanup afterwards because everything arrives in disposable wrappings and silverware and plates, and you just toss it all at the end, and it's done. Ask your family and your friends to handle the desserts for these events. You can do a potluck style where you ask a half a dozen people to each bring 2 dozen treats and lay them out. Simple, streamlined, less work for you. If planning a multi-event wedding weekend is your current situation and you're an Apple Podcasts listener, then I have a gem for you. Subscribers to Wedding Planning Podcast Premium in Apple Podcasts can actually access my entire Wedding Weekend by Design planning package for free. Subscribe today and check the premium feed for details, and be sure to shoot me a note with any questions. I really don't know why it's in our nature to complicate things, but to wrap this episode up, as you're planning, please just make it a habit to check in with your partner, check in with yourself, and ask, is there a way we could simplify this? Is there something we're not thinking about, a way that this can be easier? Or is there a way that this can be scaled back or streamlined by taking out a couple steps, or maybe done away with altogether?